Hi, everybody. Welcome to Packers Unscripted from Packers.com. I'm Mike Spofford, joined by Wes Hodkowitz. We're coming to you here from our studios at Lambeau Field. And Wes, Packers-Vikings, Christmas Eve, noon Central Time kickoff at Lambeau Field. It's almost upon us here. And as we normally do, the opening segment of our final show of the week, it's about keys to victory for Green Bay. So what jumps out at you?
Well, you want to win the run game. And it's interesting. When you face the Minnesota Vikings in years past, it was more about trying to survive that aspect of it because you're going up against Adrian Peterson. And
right.
Again, we'll have to see exactly whether or not Peterson plays in this game. But the Packers have an advantage on paper. If you look at it, the Vikings come into this thing 32nd in the league right now in rushing offense, 70 yards per game. Just numbers you don't expect to see when you're seeing Minnesota in their offense. So for the Packers, they got Ty Montgomery, they got Chris and Michael going last week. They want to keep that going now, and if they can win that advantage, I think that could be a big, really tilting sort of point for them coming out with the victory.
Yeah, for sure. I'm with you there. And when I look at this game, I know that week two was a long time ago, but I always have a tendency to go back to that game and say, okay, exactly what went wrong and why did the Packers lose? And right. when I look at that, it was the turnovers on offense. And it was allowing the big plays on defense.
Right.
A couple, three really, really good passes under pressure by Sam Bradford that converted some big plays for the Minnesota Vikings. And when you look at what the Packers have done well during this current four-game winning streak, the first thing that jumps out at me is they've protected the football. Only one turnover True. By the offense, one right. giveaway by the offense over this four-game winning streak, a fumbled snap against Houston, but that's been it. I think if the Packers can continue to protect the ball like that, especially against Minnesota's defense and the pedigree and the statistics and everything that the Vikings bring in on the defensive side of the ball, I like Green Bay's chances here.
It's really something too, Mike, when you look at Aaron Rodgers over these last five games now, 168 consecutive passes thrown without an interception. We talked for so long. There were many weeks where you and I were discussing the small window and margin for error that the Packers have had.
Right.
They've been able to sort of, you know, really turn that on its head a little bit over these last four games with the way that the takeaways have kind of came up on defense and then offensively really protecting the football. I think that when you look at why they've been able to have this run of success that they've had over the last month, that probably is number one in terms of just being able to get that many more possessions and not giving the opponent any more opportunities than what they get.
Yeah, it's remarkable how that statistic has turned around. Two weeks ago, the Packers were -5 for the season in turnover differential, and both of us have written about this on the website, and that's a statistic that has just stuck in Mike McCarthy's craw all season long. The last 2 weeks, 10 takeaways, no giveaways. You go from -5 to +5 on the season in 2 weeks. Not only that, but going from basically the bottom quarter of the league, the bottom eight teams of the league in that statistic, now up to tied for eighth. You're up into the top quarter of the league in that statistic. It turned around in 2 weeks.
Yeah, and there was the other point that you and I discussed a lot, which was the fact that not a lot of teams have been taking away the ball this year. I mean, interceptions are down league-wide. Forced fumbles are down. People are generally taking care of the football. So if you can find ways to get those turnovers, and as the Packers have done in these bunches the last 2 weeks, that is really what's going to propel you to the top of that heap, because a lot of teams are struggling to do it. And from Green Bay's perspective, you have a quarterback that is one of the all-time greatest ball, you know, really protectors in Aaron Rodgers. He doesn't turn over the football. And other than that one that was along the goal line, I think, what was that, against Houston?
Against Houston, yeah.
There hasn't really been a whole lot of things that the Packers have done wrong offensively, and that's something they have to try to keep up against a really talented and deep defense in Minnesota.
Yeah, and on top of that, too, when you look at this turnover turnaround in the last 2 weeks, it's been the offense taking advantage
right.
of those turnovers and converting them into points. We saw it against the Seattle Seahawks, which is what stretched that lead out as the Packers eventually won by 4 touchdowns. And then the Chicago game last week, you're at 10-10 at halftime. Suddenly, 3 consecutive turnovers on third quarter possessions. The Packers turn those into a field goal and 2 touchdowns, 17 points. There's your 17-point lead, and then that's the cushion that you needed, obviously, to hold off the Bears when they got hot in the fourth quarter. So it's not just turning the ball over and protecting it. It's also taking advantage of the field position and everything that goes with it to turn that statistic into a positive on the scoreboard.
Right, and Mike McCarthy brought up a really interesting stat this week. I know he's not always one to talk talk about stats in a press conference setting, but the fact that the Packers this year have, I believe, led the league in home field possession, time of possession, and just being able to control the field position during a game. Now you have a team like Minnesota that's coming out that's third in that category on the road, which is just incredible.
Yeah.
So that really, between the takeaways and just being able to control the ball, those are probably going to be the two things that are going to decide who wins this, because they're both expecting this game to go all this, the entire way.
Yeah, for sure. Well, with that, we've got plenty more to break down here on Packers Vikings. Back with more on Packers Unscripted right after this. Welcome back to Packers Unscripted. Wes Hodkowitz over there. Mike Spofford right here. And Wes, you know me. I don't like to use cliches all that often, or at least I try to stay away from them. But this particular matchup, I can't help but ask kind of the question a lot of fans are asking in a very cliche fashion. Which Minnesota Vikings team is going to show up?
Yeah.
Because we've seen they won 5 in a row to start the season. They've lost 7 of 9 since then. Even during the stretch of 7 losses in 9 games, a bunch of close losses. I actually counted it up earlier today. 4 of those defeats by 6 points or less, one of them in overtime. But then all of a sudden, with their playoff hopes in the balance last week against the Indianapolis Colts, they play absolutely their worst game of the season on both sides of the ball, probably. So now their playoff hopes are even slimmer, but they're not out of it in terms of possibly trying to snag a wild card spot before this is all said and done here. So what do you expect from Minnesota?
I guess expect the unexpected, not to use another cliche on all right. there. This is what I found that was really, really interesting when I was going through the Minnesota Vikings. There really is no statistical common ground with them. They've won games where, Sam Bradford hasn't played that well. They've lost games where Stephon Diggs has had 164 receiving yards.
Yeah.
There really hasn't been, one common thread throughout the course of the season of, okay, if this guy plays well, they're going to win the game. Maybe you can make that argument for their defense, but in most cases, they've just sort of been this anomaly in a way. I mean, they're just sort of this enigma in terms of, they really, other than that 5-game winning streak, you haven't really been able to find a lot of consistency with them. So, to answer your question, I don't know what to expect with the Minnesota Vikings. I could very easily see Sam Bradford come in there and control the game like he did, going back to the contest at US Bank Stadium in week 2. I could very easily see them crumble. So, I think it's ultimately going to come down to whether or not they can get Diggs going. And if you would have told me, Mike, in week 2, if Stephon Diggs would not have 1,000 yards receiving at this point, I wouldn't have believed you based on those first 2 performances of the season. But they've just consistently not been able to get that downfield passing game going. And when you don't have the running game, it's going to be tough to move your offense.
Yeah, I think the injuries certainly have played a part in just figuring out exactly what's going on here with this Vikings team and has led to the inconsistencies and whatnot that we've been talking about. And there's an injury that could play a couple of injuries that could play a big factor for Saturday's game. We talked in yesterday's show about Adrian Peterson,
right?
The fact that he's been sitting out of practice this week. No guarantee that he will continue his comeback from the knee injury, being still bothered now by the knee and a groin injury. But on the defensive side of the ball, Harrison Smith, he's missed the last couple of ball games with a pretty bad ankle injury.
Right.
But he returned to practice on Thursday. I believe it's the first time he's been on the practice field in the month of December for the Vikings. If they get him back on defense, that's a Pro Bowl player. It'd be, 2 Pro Bowl safeties on the field in HaHa Clinton Dix and Harrison Smith. But just like with Clinton Dix, he's a big guy for this defense and the type of plays they can make.
He is. I mean, I think he's the captain of that defense. When you look at that secondary, the communicating the calls. No disrespect to Anthony Harris whatsoever. An undrafted free agent, second-year player that was stepping in for him, but there's a big drop-off when you go from Harrison Smith to a a former college free agent. And I thought that kind of showed a little bit in that game against the Colts with not having him out there. Minnesota bottomed out. You talked about, some of those close losses that they've had through the course of the season.
Right.
That was their kind of bottoming out. So how do they respond off of that? If Smith's back on the field, that's going to go a long way. I mean, they're going to have Xavier Rhodes back. They've had him back, but they didn't have him in week two against Green Bay.
Right.
So if you get all those top secondary guys together, we were talking about, you know, Trey Waynes being available. So this is going to be the ultimate thing. We talk a lot about Adrian Peterson, rightfully so, but depending on what Harrison Smith's availability is, I think that's going to weigh heavily into this game, because it certainly did that 2 weeks ago when Seattle came in here and they didn't have Earl Thomas.
Yeah, for sure. And you can't discount, obviously, the Vikings pass rush, which has really been kind of the heart and soul of their defense, you might say. And I guess it's a credit to what Brian Bulaga and David Bakhtiari have done throughout the course of the year for the Packers, that we're getting all the way to the final show of the week before we're even talking about the opponent's pass rush, because those offensive tackles for Green Bay, yeah, those two guys as bookends have done the job all year, and you hate to sit here and say you're going to take it for granted, but boy, with the seasons that they've had, you got to believe that Everson Griffen is not necessarily going to be a game changer, that Bulaga and Bakhtiari can continue to do what they've done.
Well, I think you can make a really good argument that Everson Griffen versus David Bakhtiari has become kind of the marquee matchup right now in the NFC North when you look at one of the top flight pass rushers and one of the really young and up-and-coming tackles, who's a first alternate now for the Pro Bowl, that I think TJ Lang and a lot of guys in that locker room felt should have been with going with Lang to the Pro Bowl. So
definitely.
That's going to be a big one. And Griffen has had his success in the past. I think in the games in which he's made an impact, it's tend to, you know, favor the Vikings in these rivalries with Green Bay. But at the same time, these last few weeks, I mean, the job that they've done, especially with Rodgers dealing with the hamstring and the calf, you have to tip your cap to them. And if the Packers continue that, you would think that that's going to go a long way for Rodgers in this passing game, really being able to get itself going early.
Yeah, for sure. I would agree with that. And with that, we'll throw it to a break. Back with more on Packers Unscripted right after this. Welcome back to Packers Unscripted. I'm Mike Spofford. He's Wes Hodkiewicz. And Wes, as we get into our show here on a daily basis, week to week, we get so focused, obviously, on the upcoming opponent and what's happening with the Packers season. Sometimes we don't take enough time to step back and look at the big picture. But from a statistical standpoint, the Packers kind of closing in on something offensively that would be rather significant statistically with Mike McCarthy and his 11 seasons here. What do you got for us?
Well, 10 years now as the primary play caller. He obviously took it over last December again. But if you look at just his 10 seasons as the offensive play caller for the Packers, they're in a position right now, if it holds these last 2 weeks, to finish the year in the top 10 in both scoring and total yards for the 10th time, which is, I mean, a really astonishing statistic when you look at the NFL and how teams can, you know, ebb and flow and in terms of, you know, rising and falling. The Packers have been right on par for a long time, and, you know, going through a couple things that I wrote for a story on our website, there's so many different elements to the Packers offense over that time. They've had to evolve, they've had to change. You're seeing Ty Montgomery in the backfield, you've seen Randall Cobb and, you know, Devontae Adams, and in all these different systems that they've used. And we'll probably talk about this a lot this offseason. I'm guessing it'll be a big topic, but
sure,
the fact that the Packers, we're no longer talking about what's wrong with the offense. We're no longer talking about, hey, what do they have to do to get the big plays coming again? It's steadily happened over these last 2.5 months, and I think that's a tribute to McCarthy and Aaron Rodgers and the direction they've taken with this offense to get them back at that kind of high level that they produced at for so long.
Yeah, certainly the challenges that McCarthy and the coaching staff have dealt with over the last 2 years, I think, have stood out more than other years in his tenure. Because you look back at 2011, you know, it was like everything was so easy,
right?
Offensively, they just moved up and down the field. 2014 was kind of like that as well. Those ended up being the 2 years that Aaron Rodgers won MVP awards. But then you look at 2015, Jordy Nelson's injury, he's out for the entire season. Some other injuries hit in the receiving core, and there's some struggles there for a while. Packers still get back to the playoffs, get to the divisional round of the playoffs, and unfortunately fall in overtime, but, you know, come within a whisker of another trip to the NFC title game. Then this year, you're dealing with all the injuries with Eddie Lacy and then and James Starks before he could come back, and all of the changes with trying to find a running game that now we're seeing. The challenges that have been dealt with, and you know, the successes that have been found amidst those challenges over the last 2 years, you can't discount that.
No, you can't, Mike. And think about this too. And I'm not comparing this to the JerMichael Finley situation. I think in 2010, when they, you know, they put a lot into game planning for JerMichael Finley and trying to use him as a matchup problem.
Sure.
But think about how much the discussion was this offseason about Eddie Lacy and, you know, and Ben Sermons and really getting him back on track to being a Pro Bowl player, how much they ran the ball during the preseason to set that
up.
They really had to shift completely with his injury, with James Starks' injury. Now you're seeing Ty Montgomery, who didn't even start in the running backs room until week one of the regular season. Well, now he's a full-time running back. Kristen Michael wasn't even on this team 2 months ago. Now he's the primary, you know, number two guy that's spelling him. To make those pieces fit, that's not easy. And then, as you also mentioned, having Jordy Nelson back in this offense is just so so important. In the relationship he has with Rodgers, the longest duo right now in the NFL, quarterback and receiver, so much experience there. This offense, you talked about it at the beginning of the season, they were trying to build towards something. It was about being ready for this time of the season, and they certainly have done that.
Yeah, they've done it in a way that was unexpected. It's it didn't go as planned.
No.
And when you deal with, as you mentioned, like with Finley in 2010 and with Lacy this season, with those season-ending type of injuries, when so much has been built around those guys, you can't just flip a switch and all of a sudden get everything going right away. Jordy Nelson coming back from the ACL, he's not going to be the Jordy that you know we know and love right away in September, coming off of an injury like that. It's taken some time. It's taken a lot of different pieces fitting into place, as you said, but they've figured it out, and they're playing their best football when they have to. And the bottom line is to be in a position where two wins gets you a division championship when a month ago you were 4-6, that's pretty remarkable.
In a mind-boggling stat, when you look at Nelson, 14 games this season, 10 of them he's had a touchdown. Yes, he did have to get his legs back under him, and he had to get back into a rhythm. But it's amazing how he hasn't really shown much rust at all from a fundamental standpoint. He's been right on point all season.
Yeah, for sure. And with that, we'll throw it to another break. Back with more on Packers Unscripted right after this. Welcome back to Packers Unscripted. Mike Spofford alongside Wes Hodkowitz. Back with our holiday hats for the final segment of the week, Wes. And as we usually do, let's take a look at the other games around the league, around the NFC that could affect the Packers. And I guess the first thing that jumps out is the result from Thursday Night Football. The New York Giants lose on the road at Philadelphia, which kind of changes things for this Monday night game between the Cowboys and the Lions, because if there are any Packers fans out there, not to say that there were a lot of them thinking this way, but if you're thinking, okay, well, even if the Packers lose to the Vikings, as long as the Cowboys beat the Lions on Monday night, then the Packers can still go to Detroit and play for the division title.
Right.
Well, now with the Giants losing, suddenly the Cowboys have not only clinched the NFC East Championship, but they have clinched the number one seed in the NFC, home field advantage throughout the playoffs. So the Lions are going into Dallas on Monday night, and the Cowboys don't have anything to play for.
Yeah, that's true. I'm not going to deny that. But I also said, Mike, a few weeks ago, that this whole idea that, hey, well, maybe the Cowboys are going to downshift, maybe they won't care, they got to be careful with that if that's what they do, because you have a first-round bye and you have two meaningless weeks left of the regular season. So how do you manage that? That is going to be Jason Garrett's number one question mark. If I'm him, I really want to play this out in week 16. Week 17, you want to sit guys, fine. But they also have a pretty good backup quarterback, too. So
that's true.
This is going to ultimately decide, I think, what the narrative is going to be for the Cowboys in their postseason, how he handles this, what their plan is going to be. There's no right or wrong answer. But what course do you take into the postseason?
Yeah. And as we've talked about all week, the focus for the Packers is on winning the NFC North, and they don't need any other help. If they win these last two games over the Vikings and the Lions, the Packers will be division champs.
Yeah.
There is a convoluted scenario by which the Packers could actually clinch a wild card spot this week with a win over Minnesota and a whole bunch of other stuff happening. For those who are wondering, the three main things as far as the other games that you want to keep an eye on are Tampa Bay, Washington, and Atlanta. You want the Buccaneers and the Redskins to lose, and you want the Atlanta Falcons to win. Those would all help Green Bay in a wild card scenario. Hopefully it doesn't come to that for the Packers, but if you want to pay attention to it, that's what's out there.
Yeah, and as we were doing the Insider Inbox this week, trying to get through all these scenarios, you're a lot more intelligent than I am. I had to take a couple aspirin trying to get through that and figuring it all out. As I joked with you about on the show earlier this week, I'd prefer we just talk about getting to the 10 wins and letting that settle the season.
We'll stick with the
but,
10 wins.
You know, these are things you have to pay attention to, and depending on the outcomes of this weekend, there's going to be a lot of discussion about it going into Week 17. Packers' perspective, they want to keep this momentum rolling, not just to win, not just to get the division title, but to actually really have a lot of momentum going into the playoffs if you can go in on a six-game winning streak. These are all things that they have to consider, and I'm sure Mike McCarthy has been throwing a little bit of time and energy towards figuring out exactly how they want to attack these next 2 weeks. But certainly from the Packers' perspective right now, it's in their control, and you just want to keep it that way.
Yeah, for sure. These other games are interesting to pay attention to, though, with as we talked about earlier this week. The Redskins are playing the Bears. The Bears have given the Lions and the Packers everything they could handle the last 2 weeks. So the Redskins are walking into a game that is no gimme by any stretch. And then you have the Buccaneers playing a division game against the Saints. They beat the Saints 2 weeks ago, holding down that offense to 11 points. But then last week, the Saints explode for 48 points. That's an offense that can take care of business against anybody. I think both of those are interesting matchups for teams that are trying to stay in the wild card hunt.
Absolutely. And Drew Brees isn't going to play as poorly as he did 2 weeks ago again.
Yeah, I would agree. With that, that's a wrap on this edition of Packers Unscripted. Be sure to follow all of our coverage of the team on Packers.com. On Twitter, he's at Wes Hodd. I'm at Mike Spofford, at Packers for the Team account. Happy holidays, everybody. Thanks for watching. We'll see you next time.